Paul, in his masterpiece, the book of Romans, set out the guilt of the world. First, through the rejection of man and God's withdrawal. I hope you'll remember from that initial message an important concept. The wrath of God is more than fire and brimstone. There is an observation made in Romans that God's wrath includes his withdrawal. God gave them over to uncleanness, God gave them over to perversion, and God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God just backed off and said, that's the way you want to live, you can have it. Well, Paul then turned to the Jews and said, do you think you're better than they are? And last Sunday, we talked about the fact in chapter 3 that at the end of all the discussion, the world before God is guilty. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then we read some good news. Paul said, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption and through the propitiation of Jesus. I had one precious saint come to me at the end of the service last Sunday morning and say to me, I've never understood that till this morning, and was so overwhelmed by realizing the freedom that comes when you understand it's not what you do. It's not through the law. Paul says the law, there's no justification from the law. Justification comes freely from Christ. Well, what does that mean? What do I get out of that? What does it mean to be justified? They just sang about it. They said the word was in the song, justified freely. What does that mean? If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to talk this morning about the blessing of justification. First 11 verses, Romans chapter 5. Therefore, I always was told in seminary, when you find the word therefore, you need to find out what it's there for. It's a summary statement based on everything he said. Therefore, being, that's the reality, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, listen to this, if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What do we have being justified? Four things quickly this morning I want to give you. I might become a Baptist-costal before the service is over with. If you can't get excited about what I'm about to share with you, we need to schedule a counseling session soon. The first thing Paul says we have is acceptance. We have peace with God. Just let that bathe over you for a moment. Because of Christ, we have peace with God. Well, something for that to happen had to be removed. Paul describes it in Ephesians this way. He said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were by nature children of wrath. You were without Christ. You had no hope. You were without God in the world. What a dark picture of what we were. And it was because of sin, and sin had to be removed. You remember we had a twofold problem in chapter 3. All have sinned. Not only are we under sin, but we've sinned. We've committed acts of sin. And sin separates us from God. And that had to be removed. So Paul says when Jesus died, he died for our sin. John writes in his little book of 1 John that he is the propitiation for our sin. And not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He became sin for us, the Bible says. Isaiah wrote, he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Sin had to be removed. Not only was something removed, something was restored. Colossians said, having made peace through the blood of the cross, he hath now reconciled us. And Ephesians said, he's made us accepted in the beloved. You see, the second part of our problem, not only have all sinned, but we've come short of the glory of God. We need something we don't have. And God has given us that. The last verse of chapter 4 says, he was delivered for our offenses. That's our sin problem. And he was raised for our justification. That's our glory problem. And so because of that, we're accepted. What a wonderful thought. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to earn it. But I am accepted by God. Doesn't matter what the world thinks about that or what anybody thinks about that. The only important thing is what God thinks about that. And God declares me to be accepted. Second of all, he says in chapter 5, I have access. Verse 2 says, by whom also we have access. Access what? By faith into this grace wherein we stand. That suggests two things. It suggests, first of all, a position. To have access is important. That's what I shared with the children earlier. The book of Hebrews says it this way. We have a great high priest. He's been touched by the feeling of our weaknesses. So, catch this last verse. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I'm simple-minded at times. I close my eyes and I get a picture of that. I see a throne in glory and the Father sitting on that throne. And the Bible says, I can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have been given and granted a position that allows me access into the very throne room of heaven. What an amazing, I will never go to the White House and go into the Oval Office, I don't think. Maybe, who can tell what could happen, but I doubt it. I'm not even sure I'd ever go into the governor's office or the mayor downtown. But any moment of my life that I need to, I can enter the very portals of glory and stand before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ and have access because of what he did. What an amazing thing. It also suggests a potential. I want you to notice what this verse says. We rejoice, the last part of verse 2, in the hope of the glory of God. When you find the word hope in the Bible, do not use your English understanding of that word. It's not what it means. When we use the word hope, there's a question mark. There's a doubt implied. I hope, I'm not sure what you wanted to do today. You might say, I hope it will rain, or you might say, I hope it doesn't rain. We've had enough. But you don't know. There's a question mark. The biblical word is a certainty. It literally means confidence. There's confidence here. What confidence? In the glory of God. I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things God has prepared for those that love him. Whatever you can dream about heaven, you aren't even close. Whatever your imagination can imagine about what God has, you haven't even touched the hem of the garment. The potential, the confidence that we have been given because of the access we've been granted into the very presence of God. And third, we have been granted an awareness of the reason for our problems. Now, I know you love this verse, verse 3. Not is this only true, he writes, but we glory in trouble. You do that, don't you? When your battery in your car dies and you're 100 degrees outside, you hallelujah, God, thank you for that busted battery. You don't glory in your trouble? The Bible says we're supposed to. We glory in trouble. Why? Why in the world would I do that? That sounds dumb. Well, because number one, I'm provided with some calm assurance. He says it works patience. Don't ever pray for patience. Whatever you pray for, don't pray for patience, because God's answer is trouble. Because there's no other way to learn it. You can't get that out of a book. That comes in the crucible of life experience. Some of the best lessons you have ever learned in your life came through hardship, didn't it? Have you not learned things that have made you strong? The old saying is, what doesn't kill us makes us better and stronger. The most important lessons of your life came through heartache and difficulty. But that's not the end of it. The second part is it builds character, because patience gives us experience. And that's important. You know what I see happening in the world today, especially in the church, there's a sad reality. By the time God has got us to the point that He can use us, most of us want to quit. Well, I've had my time. I want to share with you a deep desire of my heart. There are some needs in our church in the area of teaching and ministry that some of you could feel, but you hesitate because you either think you're too old to do it, or because you feel like you have earned your right to sit down or wherever it is, and you are depriving people of the blessing of your wisdom, and you're robbing yourself of joy. I pastored a little mission church in Florida years ago, and the lady who ran our preschool department was in her 70s. And that sounds kind of interesting now, because I'm about to be there. Not sure what that means. I'd walk into that room with babies scattered on the floor, and she's sitting in the middle of them with more energy than people half her age had, and laughing and having a time, and kids responding. People, well, kids don't respond to old folks. How do you know? Have you tried? Sometimes they just think you look funny. They laugh at you. And then they get to see your heart, and they respond to your heart. The third thing he says is, from experience, there's that word again, hope, confidence. It's through our troubles that we grow. We develop character. We become what God wants us to become. Now, there's a fourth thing. I want you to notice the last part of this story. Let me read it all again. Beginning in verse 6, he says, now, when we were without strength, in due time, at the right time, in God's timetable, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely will a righteous man die. Maybe for a good man, some would die, but God demonstrated, God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still sinners. Verse 10 says, when we were enemies. Before we ever thought about God, before we uttered our first prayer, before we considered the possibility of redemption, before any movement on our part ever ascended to heaven, God, in spite of who we were and what we were, sent his son to die in our place on Calvary's cross. And then my favorite words in verse 9, much more. You want something to meditate on today when you go home through the week? Think about those two words, much more. Now that we are justified by his blood, now that we have responded to him and asked him to come into our life, now that we have been redeemed and have become his children, it says here, much more we shall be saved. And then in verse 10, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, there it is again, second time, much more being reconciled, now that we have been reconciled, now that we are children of God, we shall be saved by his life. Let me make this simple. If God sent Jesus to die for you before you were saved, now that you're saved, how much more is he going to do for you? If he would do that for you before you loved him, if Jesus would die on the cross for you before you cared about him, my, now that you have received him, how, using Paul's words, much more is he going to do? Dear friend, Satan has been successful in selling us a bill of goods down here. Believers have every reason to rejoice and live life to the fullest when you come to understand who you are, what your position is, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God's going to do in your life. To be a believer today and to live a defeated life is unbelievable. And yet the church are full of them. It begins when you buy into the lie of Satan. And you have this idea of that God, you got to do something so God will love you. And I love saying this over and over again. There is absolutely nothing you can do to make God love you because he already does. There's nothing you can do to pay for your sin. He already has. It is given, we read that verse last week, chapter 3, verse 24, being justified. What's that next word? Freely. Being justified freely by his grace, we have redemption. It's time for the army of the Lord God to stand up with pride and with joy and stop listening to the king of liars who has filled and flooded our minds with destructive thoughts so that we just slide through life hoping somehow to make it one day. What a dismal, unbiblical way to live your life. You have more reasons than I can begin to enumerate today to walk out of here rejoicing. Jesus one day told the disciples, they were excited about the power. He says, don't be excited about your power. Be excited by the fact that your name is written down in heaven. For Satan to get to you, can I tell you what his job is? First of all, he's got to bypass the love of the Father. Second of all, he's got to break the seal of the Holy Spirit. And third, he's got to get under the blood of Jesus. And he can't do none of it. Years ago, I heard Dr. Charles Stanley in a message talk about us being in the hand of God. And I remember vividly that picture. He said, my sheep hear my voice and follow me, and I give them eternal life, that passage, and they'll never perish. And he describes us being in his hand and him being in the Father's hand. And he said, we're in the double hand clasp of God. And he says, what can get to us if we're in God's hand? Only that which the Father allows so that he can develop character in us. I pray this morning that when you read the word justified in your Bible again, you pause and realize all that means. You have been accepted. We jockey for that position from earliest childhood. Going to school, it's more important than just about anything else for everybody to like us. We want to be accepted. Today's social media world is full of tragedy after tragedy. Suicides in high school and middle school and even in elementary school, fueled by bullying in part, but fueled by the fact that children cannot deal with not being accepted. And for the rest of our life, we battle that. As adults, we want to be accepted. Well, understand that according to the Bible, we have been accepted by the King of the universe. There is no greater, there is no higher possibility for our life. We've been granted access. It's one thing to be accepted, but for the door to be opened, come on in. Come sit down at my throne. Tell me what's on your heart. What a wonderful thing to be able to do. And to understand that even the bad stuff in my life has a purpose. God wants to build character in me. And so the troubles are there to develop patience that ultimately will give me confidence. And then the assurance that if God did all that before I was able to respond, now that I have responded, how much more will he do? Father, oh, how we thank you for these words. Words of great encouragement and power. I pray this morning, Lord, for believers who have allowed Satan to flood their hearts with darkness, hinder their joy, cause them not to understand who they are as a child of the Father. And Lord, I think of others who may be sitting here this morning that don't have that privilege because they've never been brought into your kingdom through faith. Lord, for those who are sitting here this morning that cannot say with assurance they know Jesus to be their personal Savior, I pray, Lord, what they've heard today will encourage them to consider giving their heart to you, to know that when they do, they will be accepted, to know they'll have access into your presence, to know that, Father, they can view their problems in a different light, and to know that there's so much more yet to come. As we sing in a moment, Father, bless those who need to respond. In Jesus we pray. Amen.